Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So I'm delighted to say we're joined on the latest edition, of the video podcast by Andy Jenkins from My Leadership Strengths. And as you can, for those who are watching the video, you can see we can talk about leadership today and how to play to your strengths. But I think before we kind of jump into that, Andy, do you want to kind of just quickly introduce yourself and your business, and then we can kind of take it from there?
Sure. Thanks, Michael. Thank you for inviting me on this. Andy Jenkins, I'm co-founder and principal at My Leadership Strengths. We do a couple of things, assessment tools. So we accredit coaches and leadership professionals to use our assessment tools in large organizations like the NHS. But also I do a lot of learning and training programs, particularly for small businesses like Adventure and businesses in West Yorkshire. So I'm based in Headingley, and my background is over 20 years in organization development and leadership, using a range of different tools and things, working with leaders in small businesses and large.
Perfect. Sounds good. And the perfect qualifications to have to discuss this subject then.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with the basics, I guess. You know, what is leadership? What does that mean? Because there are probably people watching, listening to this, and it maybe means different things to everyone. So it'd be interesting to kind of your take on that, what you think leadership is.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there are different answers, but I think particularly it's probably worth just spelling out what leadership isn't, and maybe some of the myths around leadership, actually, because leadership is really about inspiring other people and enabling them to flourish. And I think so, therefore, as a leader, part of that challenge is also about understanding yourself and the impact that you have. There's no point in trying to be brilliant at something that you might think you're brilliant, but actually if people aren't following you, if you're not connecting with them, if you're not able to build relationships with them and inspire them, then you're not much of a leader. So I think it's really about engaging and motivating people fundamentally. And so when we think about leadership, we kind of boil it down to three key principles, really, that are kind of helpful, I think, particularly in a small business. Part of that is about understanding your own unique strengths. That's quite crucial, because every leader is going to have a different team, different context, your own unique things. So there's no one size fits all view of leadership. Secondly, trying to address the most important weaknesses. There's no perfect thing, but there's also a big benefit in addressing those weaknesses, not ignoring them. And then the third one is about understanding and tapping into the strengths of others. So that's about bringing out the best in other people.
And that makes a lot of sense. And I think, obviously, with the title of the podcast is around playing to the strengths of you as a leader. So I guess the question is, how do we know what our strengths are? I'm sure we've all probably got an idea. We think we know what they are. Some things will probably be right and some things will probably be wrong. But so how do we find that out? How do we know what our strengths are?
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? I mean, it's probably worth just reflecting on that, because often people don't get asked about their strengths until maybe you have a job interview and somebody says, oh, tell us about your strengths. And it's not an easy question to answer, is it? Because sometimes you feel like, well, I've got to make something up, but I also don't want to sound too confident or even kind of over-promote myself. I don't know if you've come across that one.
I see you smiling. It's a very British thing. Really interesting. I listened a lot to the Stephen Bartlett podcast, and I've heard him talk about this. And obviously he speaks to various people from around the world, and like the difference between leaders and business people in America and in the UK, when he asks a similar kind of question, you know, what is good about you? And as Brits, we struggle to answer that a little bit, because we don't want to be too too boastful, I guess.
For sure, yeah. So I think for me, the starting point of understanding your strengths or your capabilities as a leader is about doing some kind of simple assessment. And that could be a simple reflection piece, just thinking about what do I do that I really enjoy doing that actually I'm really good at. You might want to use some kind of inventory. There are lots of online tools and different assessments, some of which are free and really good to use to maybe, you know, go online, do a little thing so you can maybe assess against some certain criteria. There's some really good ones from Martin Seligman, who's a big leader in this field. There's an online thing called the VIA, which is a really well-established tool, a number of other ones as well. And I've actually developed my own tool aimed specifically at leaders, which there's a free version of, to enable you to stop, have a coffee, sit down for 10 minutes, just reflect and actually take stock a little bit. Because often we're so busy, particularly in a small business, running the show, that you don't get time to stop and think.
Absolutely. It'd be interesting to know, because obviously everybody's different and every individual, but I'm sure in your experience there is kind of recurring themes, if you like, weaknesses that people probably have as leaders that either they know they have or they may not be aware of. Is there anything, like a few things that maybe for people to think about, you know, is this me? Because, you know,
yeah. It's important. Well, I mean, there's probably, if you think about, there's a bit of a structure for this. I guess there's probably four key steps perhaps that might help us in this conversation. I think the first one we started to talk about already is about assessing unique capabilities, really understanding what are the powerful combinations of strengths. Probably looking at that first before we move on to weaknesses a little bit later. And that's because often we assume that development is about filling in gaps and making up for things we don't have. But actually, that is important, but probably the better starting point is just to take stock and think about what you've already got and what can you make the best use of. So I suggest that's a good place to start. If you even had a little list of a few things that you really love to do and that you really bring to the party, maybe where people give you unsolicited positive feedback about, they say, Michael, you're brilliant at building relationships and connections. The way you do it is brilliant. You might do that all the time, and you might assume that, well, that's okay, that's just me, but actually it might have more of an impact than you think, because other people see it in a different way, and because you do it so naturally, it you don't necessarily recognize the positive impact it has. So that's probably the first thing, really take advantage of and focus in on the things that you've already got, make the most of them.
Okay, that makes sense. And I think, so for me, like leadership, and I'm kind of going from experience here, and I have a bit of a theory on this about what makes a good leader and what doesn't. And yeah. One of the things I've always seen as a weak or a weakness, I guess, for people in leadership is measuring or looking for inputs rather than outputs. You know, yes. And I think traditionally, maybe this is a cultural thing, and things like basically how many hours someone sat at the desk is measured, which to me sounds ridiculous. And I know there's some areas where that kind of has to be part of the job. If you're working in retail, for example, you know, you have to be there for X number of hours. If you're in some sort of office job or a creative type industry, it is different. And yes. I think that's an easy thing to do, is to measure those things. As a leader or a manager, it's more difficult to measure and manage people by, I guess, non-tangibles. Does that make sense, what I'm saying, anyway?
It does, yeah. And because leadership is quite hard to pin down, you know, you can Google it, there are a million definitions, and also context changes, doesn't it? So actually, therefore, as a leader, you've always got to be learning and always got to be adaptive. Maybe an example, if we think back a couple of years ago when we first had this coronavirus pandemic, you know, February 2020, there's a certain way of managing and leading people, maybe in an office, where people are face-to-face, et cetera. And, you know, a couple of months later, even a few weeks later, the context shifted dramatically. People working from home, very different expectations, you know, doing different things, spending time on different activities. Therefore, the behaviours you need, the inputs to enable you to get to wherever you need to get to, massively shift. So I think as a leader, that's where that self-awareness piece, understanding your contribution and being able to understand your impact is so critical, because it will always change. It's always dynamic.
It's really interesting you mentioned the pandemic. So that's one of the questions I had noted down here, was about change. So it's a really interesting box. It was very much leading on from actually what I was saying there, because I think maybe for a lot of people in leadership positions, all of a sudden they couldn't track people by literally how many hours they were sat at the desk. So they needed to find out and work out other ways of managing and leading people. So
you know, there's no way of saying the pandemic was a good thing, but it, one of the sometimes there's good and bad things that come for anything like this. And maybe one of the things is more and more leaders will be looking at other ways of leading their team and their people. Would that make sense?
It does, yeah, definitely. The thing about that is large organizations, I think they tended to respond, as you said, by tracking things like outputs or time on online or whatever it might be. And sometimes that can be helpful. But also, I think larger organizations tend to have much more formal processes around this stuff, but it's not necessarily measuring the right thing. So they might have an annual engagement survey and they look at all the data for that and decide whether their team are engaged. Well, I would say, well, you shouldn't need a survey to tell you what your people are really thinking and feeling. Actually, that's your job as a leader every day. So the great thing about working in a small business is, you know, you've got the opportunity to have those conversations more frequently. You might have a daily stand-up, which is an important time to check in. You might have, weekly or daily meetings or monthly reviews or whatever it might be, retrospectives. There's lots of things where, as a leader, you can have a big impact. And they're not separate tasks, they're just part of the day job. But that's also an opportunity to check in with what's really going on, keep your finger on the pulse, and have opportunities to talk to, I guess, people collectively. But I think probably more importantly, have good quality one-to-one time. That's probably the main driver, I would say, of getting expectations set with people and making sure you've got people doing what you need them to do.
No, absolutely. You know, I think that's one of the things as well, is, you know, kind of treating people as individuals, because I think, again, it's quite easy to have this kind of blanket thing, how you lead people. You lead everybody in the same way. And I understand why people do that, because, again, it's easier, and also it's there's consistency to it. And I guess kind of this also leads into kind of things like HR-related elements of it, which kind of, you know, you have to treat everyone the same type of thing. But people are different, and everyone's got different circumstances. And I think that's one of the things that I think has definitely improved, that people treat people differently. They understand, you know, the single parent, it needs different things to the person in their 50s who has no ties. I'm just using some very basic examples there.
Sure.
There needs to be empathy to that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, taking an individual approach is so crucial. And I think particularly in a smaller organisation, that's where you can beat the competition. You don't have to have too much formality. You can review things more regularly. You can set objectives over 3 months and review them rather than 12 months if you want to be a bit more agile. But then also you can adjust the tasks and activities around what people really enjoy doing. You don't have to be too regimented. And that's kind of really helpful, I find, because that's the best way of engaging people, particularly in a really tight labour market. As a small business, it can be really hard to attract and retain people. Yeah. And so what can you do as a small business owner or founder? Well, actually, you can create the perfect job for somebody, can't you? You can actually tailor it really well. And actually, you know, that works really well, potentially for you, for your customers, and for the person themselves.
Yeah, I guess I'm going off slightly off leadership here, but I think it's an important kind of framework for this, is how the kind of workplace is changing, and more of, kind of, you touched on there, that like more of a demand for people to have, I don't like the phrase work-life balance, but let's use it for the basis of this, but that balance of life and doing things and enjoying themselves and family and less traveling and all that kind of stuff. And it's interesting to see how that will affect kind of leaders and leadership as we go. And as you touched on there, creating individual roles for individual people, it will be part of that, I assume.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. But people want things tailored, don't they? If you think about outside the world of work, as a consumer, we're all expecting things on our own terms, aren't we? You know, we adjust our news feed and our Spotify playlist, and we want things on demand as we like them. We expect things to turn up instantly when we order them online, etc. And the workplace experience is no different, I would suggest. So that means, as a leader, actually you got to up your game a little bit, really. You can't be reliant upon, well, this approach works for me, and so hopefully it works for everybody else. That's not necessarily a great strategy. You've got to really understand the needs of your team members. That's the basic starting point, isn't it, for them working out, well, how do we want to work together?
Yeah, and I think actually it's one of the real benefits that the kind of younger generation are bringing through into the workplace now, is that they do demand those things. I know there's a lot said about the younger generation. I would argue a lot of people about. I think they're a fantastic generation of people, but that's a different story. But I think the fact that they are demanding those things and actually work, it shouldn't be everything in your life, and it should be just part of it, is a good thing for everybody. I think they are actually, obviously the pandemic has definitely impacted it, but I think they will be driving change as well.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. I think on the generation thing, you know, every generation had their own different things when they were younger, didn't they? So it's a bit of a funny thing to reflect on. You know, when you're older, the younger generation are more, they're different. Well, yeah, of course they are, but that's probably not that different from when you were really young. So I think that there's something there to just avoid some of the assumptions, perhaps, and checking on individuals. Yeah, you know, me and you, Michael, are probably in the same generation, isn't it? We've got the same needs at work, right? So we might be in the same cohort. So I think that back to that individual approach that's so crucial there, that's definitely there. Not making assumptions, checking in with people and treating them as individuals. Because also then you've got a whole range of how do you be inclusive in an organization? How do you create the space for diverse thinking, for ideas and innovation? That all comes from people feeling comfortable to be themselves and being able to share what they think is going on, what's important for them in work and outside of work, and how do you mix all those things together?
Yeah, it's the word inclusivity there was a really, I think it's a really key word. And something else I noted down actually was the, again, we kind of touched on this, the kind of cultural changes we've had. And I equate it to, so if we use sport, an example, if you use, say, for a football manager in the 1980s, their team, they would have a team full of probably white British footballers, pretty much predominantly, the odd not, but pretty much. Now, if you're a manager of a football team in the Premier League, you have people from all over the world, different cultures, different creeds, different religions, and all that kind of thing. And I think that's actually relevant for the business world as well, because maybe not to quite that extent, you don't have as many different nationalities and everything, but there is still differences. I think that's something we could all kind of take examples and maybe how leadership has changed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, first of all, you can't make assumptions. Secondly, you've got to be more self-aware to understand the impact you have. But also, I think just generally openness is really important. Openness to ideas and different things, particularly as a small business owner. I'm thinking about you now, Michael. You know, you've started your business, you've grown it, you've got people that work for you. But there's also a time where you can't be across everything. So actually, you've got to start to, you know, pass on decisions to other people, enable them to make the choices. They might not make the same choices that you make, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Actually, if you're setting the direction well enough, actually people can come up with stuff that you would never have thought of. And actually that's the real benefit of having staff. You know, it can be a challenge at times, don't get me wrong, but actually that's the real privilege you have as a leader, isn't it? Because actually people can do amazing things and you can be there to support them to do it.
Absolutely, you know, letting go is one of the most difficult things, but it's also one of the most rewarding things. So so I think that's key, isn't it? And,
it really is.
I hear the phrase quite a lot, natural born leader.
Oh, do you?
I've heard that quite a bit. People say that about certain people. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a thing? Or, and I'm assuming by what you do, you probably think, yes, leadership can be learned, can be developed. But do you think people are natural leaders?
I think people might have a predisposition to doing certain things. There's a whole combination of factors, though, that affect it. So maybe a couple of things to help to break that one down. I think one of the key components of leadership in terms of skills is what you might call emotional intelligence. So a guy called Daniel Goleman, he wrote a brilliant article and a book back in the 90s. He demonstrated that intelligence, so you know, logical, rational thinking, and technical skills are not the things that make the difference in terms of performance. Actually, emotional intelligence, so self-awareness, ability to influence other people, having empathy, are really crucial skills. But a couple of important points about that: the more senior you get in an organization, the more experienced you are in your career, the more important emotional intelligence is. So yeah, absolutely. We might have had a range of experiences that give us more emotional intelligence, so we might have a natural advantage of that. But crucially, he demonstrated that emotional intelligence is a set of skills that can be learned. So I think for me, don't rule yourself out of leadership. I think for many of us, if I take my career example, I didn't start out necessarily wanting to be a leader or knowing what I wanted to do. I sat on a course of doing a professional qualification after my degree and going into a field, and then you end up leading people. And actually, those are all skills that you can learn if you're clear enough about what you want to do and where you want to focus. So I would say, yeah, maybe some people might be more aptitude than others, but actually it doesn't rule anybody out.
I was just thinking then, actually, I think, and obviously please correct me if I'm wrong, there's a distinction to be made here between a leader and a manager. Kind of, I've used both words during this podcast, but I guess you don't need to be a manager or someone who runs a business to be a leader. You can be someone in any role, insert role, it doesn't matter what that is, to lead forward. And I think that's maybe for people listening something to think about as well is, maybe you do want to, you may be part of your career plan, you want to become a manager. So you can actually start leading now. You don't have to start leading once you become a manager, start leading now. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah, for sure. And organizations large and small, you talked about changes in workplaces. You know, hierarchy is becoming less prevalent. Organizations are getting flatter. They have been for a number of years. But also as an individual contributor, even as a technical specialist, you might be a marketing specialist or you might be a specialist in whatever field. You're still influencing other people. You're still building relationships. You're still trying to get things done through other people. So in effect, you're acting and being a leader anyway without necessarily formal authority. So for me, the kind of easiest way to think about management and leadership is that leaders lead people and managers manage projects and things. Yeah. So I think, yeah, the leadership is the people side of it, really.
Yeah. And I think, and I touched on it a minute ago, and I've touched on it in other podcasts as well. I think that in the business world, we could learn a lot from sport. And I mentioned that earlier, actually, around the things like this. And there's a lot of, in lots of different areas, but definitely in leadership and whatever sports you follow, but well, team sports anyway, people will be able to think of examples of someone who is a leader. And obviously, the manager has got a particular role, but there'll be people who are leaders who aren't, you know, they're not the manager of the team, or they're not even the captain of the team, but they are a leader. And actually, if you think about the strengths that they have, it's not always, you know, it's not the person maybe who's the loudest who shouts at everybody, or the person who does this or that. There's many different things that we define as leaders. And I think we could take that a lot into the business world as well. It's one of my things I think a lot is because it's such a result-driven industry as sport. You can see the results really, really easily. And I think we can learn a lot from that from business.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. And I think back to the point about the technical skill versus the emotional intelligence skills, you might be a really technical, great player or whatever it is, but actually the leadership component come from the emotional intelligence piece, don't they? Understand the impact you have, influencing others, having empathy. Those are the people that others look to help them to look to the future and support them.
Yeah, absolutely. So final kind of main question for me, Andy, is if someone's listening to this and either they are a leader, they want to be a leader, want to be a better leader, whatever it might be, what kind of maybe two or three things they should either do or think about now to kind of set themselves to move forward? Because, you know, listen to me and you talk for 30 minutes or so is not going to make someone a good leader, but what it hopefully might do is plant some seeds. What kind of seeds would you like to plant with people to think about to help them move forward?
Well, if I could give you four things, we kind of we
started in three. Perfect.
Yeah, so we start with the first one already because we said assess unique capabilities, didn't we? So I would say if you want to jump on my website, I've got a tool called QPT. It's a self-assessment tool. You can do it on your phone while you're making a brew, and that'll give you a simple self-assessment to work out what you think your priorities are, and you know how you might rate yourself. So that's the first one. Do a quick assessment. Give yourself 10 minutes to reflect. Right. Then I'd say the second one would be audit your energy. So thinking about how you manage your, I think you said work-life balance earlier, Michael. Actually, what are the activities that not only you're good at, but you're really energized by, the things that you really, that never have to remind yourself to do because they're not, you know, you'd have to write a list for the kids, you just love doing them. Yeah. Those are the things that you want to stick to doing or do more of. You might also find when you audit your energy that there are tasks or activities that you don't really love doing too much. Those are potentially really helpful ones to delegate, pass on to others, maybe automate. And so if you're, you know, understanding yourself, you're clear about your energy. Those are the first two steps. And then I think for me, it's the dialogue is what changes behavior more than anything else. So reflecting on your own is good, but have a conversation. So my third tip would be align expectations. It might be with your boss if you're in an organization. It might be with your client if you've got a major customer, or it might be with a business partner. So I know, Michael, you're going through that process at the moment, aren't you? Thinking about partners and other people that you work with. Aligning expectations is so crucial. It avoids assumptions, but also it might help you to think about, well, actually, I really love doing this stuff. This is what really floats my boat. And it might be that somebody else has got something different and complementary. That could be a really powerful combination. So I think for me, that would be a top tip. Have a conversation with somebody you work with really closely and think about where you want to focus your time, energy, and talent, and get them to do the same. That can be a really helpful discussion to have. And then the fourth one is address weaknesses. Yeah. So once you've done all that stuff, then work out what the things actually are getting in the way. And if they are, you might want to do a bit of training or learning on that. You might even want to delegate some of those things so it doesn't become a weakness for you, because actually somebody else is already dealing with it. Again, tapping into the strengths of others. So those are the four kind of top tips, I think, to give a bit of a structure for that, if that's helpful.
That really is helpful. And I love that, the kind of that last one there about addressing your weaknesses. And not necessarily one thing you could do is, like I said, get better at that. But also it might be just say, okay, well, I know I'm not as good at that, so I will get someone else to do that, essentially, or something else to do that as well.
Have you done that in your business, Michael? Have you got examples of things where, you know, others do things better than you would do?
Yeah, most things in my case. A lot of the admin-related things with the business, I prefer the bigger picture thinking and the getting out there and talking and doing this, me and you. Yeah. So I will delegate the other stuff to other people. And I think it's such a release, actually, as well, because for me, I know that those things, I can do them, I'm capable of doing them, I don't particularly like doing them, and therefore it kind of, you mentioned energy earlier, it kind of drains that energy, so then I'd have less energy for the stuff that I enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. It's like the opportunity cost, isn't it? Like, you could do it, but actually, at what price? That you might be knackered, you might find yourself putting it off as well. That's the other thing that happens. So you end up being like, I'll just delay that because I don't really love doing it. And then you push it down the road a little bit and you end up kind of doing it when you're tired or maybe not doing it at all, and your business suffers.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is it kind of, often, especially if it's something you don't like doing, it kind of nags away in your mind, doesn't it? And therefore, maybe you're not doing the other stuff that you are doing to the highest capability because those things are nagging away at you. The kind of, goes back to the eat the frog, I guess, mentality a little bit. It does that, doesn't it? If you've got something you particularly hate doing, I guess either pass it on or do it first thing and get it out of the way. So there's kind of a couple of choices you've got there.
Sure.
No, it's definitely a good piece of advice, I think.
So
you mentioned there about the assessment tool. What we'll do is for anyone listening or watching this, we'll put it in the notes as well so that people can just click straight through to that. And then we'll put that out there and we'll put it on the social media activity when it goes out as well. Final from me, obviously you mentioned it before, but if anyone wants to kind of find out a little bit more about you and what the business does, where are the best places to go?
Yeah, on LinkedIn or on myleadershipstrengths.com, where you can find out more. I'm going to be doing some more blogs to support this this podcast and more video content. That's definitely my New Year's resolution, to get out there a bit more and talk a bit more about some of the things that I do with my clients.
Brilliant. And we'll put all that details again in the notes and we'll follow up. And if for whatever reason people can't find you, I'm sure they will do, Andrew, just give me a shout and I can point you in the right direction. So it's been I really enjoyed that conversation, Andy. It's kind of you probably saw me making loads of notes.
I did. Yeah.
There's things to do. I mean, what I find on these, every time I do these, or most of these conversations, I end up creating a lot more work for myself because there's things I want to do, which is good things, but that to-do list is getting longer.
And I think maybe that's the challenge, isn't it, for all of us working for ourselves. Time is a real, valuable resource. So maybe just the final thing to end with is, how do you give yourself a little bit of time each week? It doesn't have to be every day, but it might be half an hour a week. Build that into a regular habit. Give yourself time to stop and reflect. And that might not be sat at your desk. It might be going for a walk in fresh air and stopping and thinking, or something else that helps you to take stock, reflect on things, think about stuff. I think for me, that's a really good way of building your capabilities as a leader generally, but also just managing your own time and energy as well.
100%. It's one better advice I'd give to anyone as well, is make sure you have that time to almost rationalize everything and then kind of go out. And like I said, everyone does different things. It might be someone, you might want to meditate, yoga, go for a run, go to the gym, whatever it is, go for a drive. I don't know. Everyone's different. That's fine. But I know for me that makes a big difference. You know, I often when I go out for a run, I'll go out with a head full of stuff and come back, and it kind of, I don't know, it's all kind of come together a little bit at the end of it. I mean, that's really useful. So maybe as a leader, obviously do that for yourself, but also allow your team and your people that you lead to also do that, build that in somewhere.
Definitely. The analogy of the aircraft safety demonstration, like you always put your own mask on first before helping others. And I think that's not a bad analogy as a leader. Actually, if you're looking after yourself, you're much more able to support and look after other people.
Great place to finish, I think, Andy. So I just want to say thank you. Really appreciate your time.
Wonderful. Thanks, Michael. That's great.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and then have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.